Last week we talked about the Valley of Dry Bones and how Ezekiel sees new life from dead bones. He got a glimpse of Easter. Today we get the Easter story itself. I got to tell you, it being the Sunday before Palm Sunday, I feel a little weird reading it. Because it is the Easter story. It's the empty tomb. It's John and Mary racing or back to the tomb. But you see, Easter, it's a love story. It's a story about how great God's love is for us. I mean, the love story that is Easter, it starts with Christmas. It starts with God choosing to become one of us. And it goes through his life as a child, his life, his ministry, his death, and then his resurrection. Jesus comes and gives us an example of what love really is. He gives us an example of what love is and how we should live our life. The truth is that Easter is not the end of that love story. It's really a new beginning. Because it is through Jesus' work, through Jesus' love, that we are made new in the eyes of God. That we are justified. That we stand before God spotless as a lamb. We are given an opportunity to love. As the author of 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. Because of God's great love for us, we love God back. So our scripture story today, it's the Easter story, and it's from the Gospel of John. So hear these words. It's the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now this story is present in all four Gospels. This empty tomb story. In John, it's Mary Magdalene alone that goes to the tomb. In Mark and Matthew and Luke, it's Mary Magdalene and some other Marys and some other women that go to the tomb early in the morning. But in every single one of them, all four of the Gospels, Mary Magdalene is one of the women, or the woman in the case of John, that is the first to the tomb that first Easter morning. Now, as I was doing my Thursday lunchtime Bible study with our group, all kinds of stuff came out about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is a really interesting biblical character. And sort of what has been done to her over the years is an interesting study all by itself. There's been much attributed to her. Pope Gregory I in 596 preached a sermon in which he alluded to her being a prostitute before she repented and became a follower of Jesus. And she's been a prostitute ever since. Then there is some recent films that have made Mary Magdalene the secret wife of Jesus and the bearer of the chalice of Christ, which was the children that Jesus had, right? Mary Magdalene has been a lot of things through the thousands of years. None of these are really accurate. None of them. They're just sort of things that we say, isn't that cool? I mean, she is oftentimes identified by people as the woman that anointed Jesus' feet. No, it was just a Mary. Could be Mary, the Mary of Mary and Martha, who was not Mary Magdalene. She's an interesting biblical character. The things that have been done to her. The truth of it is, what we know about her from Scripture, other than she was with the women, the other women, when they went to the tomb, is that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. The Bible makes it clear that happened, that Jesus cast out these 7 demons from her. We also know that Mary Magdalene was present at the crucifixion, and that she was the first to the tomb. We also know that she was the first to see the resurrected Jesus. And she was the first sent out to share the good news that Jesus is not dead, that he is alive. And this is part of the love story. You see, Mary Magdalene loved Jesus deeply. So much so that she stood there as he was crucified at his feet. So much so that she was the first to the tomb. She was so grateful for the gift that he had given her of being cleansed of these 7 demons, which, by the way, there's 7 deadly sins. So she was completely messed up, and she was completely healed. And she was grateful. And her response was to love Jesus mightily. In our text, she is the first to the tomb, and she sees that the tomb is open. And this is not a little stone. It's a big stone. It would take 2 or 3 men to move. So she just knows immediately that the body is not there. She runs and tells Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loves. That's only in John. And scholars think that that is the author of John talking about himself. He's identifying himself. So she goes and tells Peter and maybe John, hey, the body's gone. They run. We get the detail that John outruns Peter but doesn't go into the tomb. Peter goes into the tomb, and then John walks in. And the scripture says, and he believed. We don't know exactly what he believed. It doesn't say he believed that Jesus rose. We know that John also loved Jesus. And if we read it correctly in the Gospel of John, Jesus loved John. They were brothers. Not biologically brothers, but brothers. Just as we are sisters and brothers in Christ. John believed when he saw. John and Mary both loved Jesus. Their love for Jesus puts both Mary and John at the forefront of the very first Easter morning. Because they loved him, they were in the right place in order to experience that first Easter. Mary was the first to see the resurrected Jesus, and the first one sent out by Jesus to share the good news. They were there because of their love. And love, it's an interesting thing. We can find in love that it is really the great interpreter. It's why we can love someone and we can really sympathize with them. We can really understand what's happening them with them. Not so easy to do with the folks that we see on the news whom we don't know. We might feel bad for whatever bad thing we're seeing on the news. But when we love someone, the feelings that we have are real. We can really understand. We can really sympathize. Love. Love can help us to grasp the truth, even when knowledge and intellect leave us grasping at straws. You see, John believed because he loved Jesus. Mary loved Jesus and was in the right place. You know, it is a great and a wonderful thing for us to love Jesus. We love Jesus because he first loved us, because of the awesome gifts that he has given us, that God became incarnate and died, that we might have eternal life. And it is the basis of our faith, that we have a relationship with Jesus, that we love Jesus and Jesus loves us. But there's something else, I think, in this story for us. Because if that's where you get stuck, Jesus and me, I call it a Jesus and me theology. It was in some of the songs that we sang. It's in the song that we're going to sing at the end. In the garden, right? He walks with me, he talks with me, and tells me I am his own. Oh, the joy that we feel as we tarry there. Anybody catch that? Me, 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 me. It's great to have a relationship. It's great to love Jesus. But there is a message in this text for us that says there's something else. There's this whole scene at the end where Mary is there. She stays. She's crying at the tomb. She doesn't recognize Jesus. Now, I can't tell you how many times I have preached sermons about we don't recognize Jesus when we see him. But I think there's something else. Thursday with my Bible study, we were talking about this part where Jesus says, "Don't touch me. I've not gone to the Father yet." And so I was like, well, what does that mean? Well, he wasn't quite fully formed because he hadn't been to the Father. Oh, he was kind of this ethereal wisp thing. I mean, none of us could really get a grip on it, what this meant, don't touch me. I mean, here we go, limiting God. If God wanted Mary to touch him, he'd let Mary touch him. It's kind of a scriptural mystery, isn't it? So scholars have really stretched their brains trying to figure out exactly what this means. There's really no good answers. But one scholar put forward something that makes some sense to me. And that's that there was a bit of a mistranslation, because Jesus is speaking in Aramaic, right? The author is writing in Greek. And the words are pretty close in Aramaic that would mean, you can't touch me, or stop touching me. And so the author, this scholar, speculates that really what Jesus was saying is not, you can't touch me, but stop touching me and go and share the good news with your brothers, with the disciples, that I am alive. I think that really speaks to us. Because if we get stuck in this Jesus and me place, I mean, it's a nice place to tarry for a little while. But if that's where your faith stops, you're missing the boat. Because what Jesus tells Mary to do, stop touching me, stop hanging on to me, go and share the good news. Our faith has to extend that far. It's not just enough for us to love Jesus and let Jesus love us. We have to go tell the world. Some of us, I have said these words myself, I don't really want to share that. My faith is really personal to me. And that's okay to have that. You don't have to go share the intimate details of your faith. But we, as followers, as lovers of Jesus, we are called to go out and to share the good news that he is alive. Period. End of story. We can't keep the good news of Easter to ourselves and think, oh, aren't I special? Because Jesus died, yes, for you, but for the world. Easter, it's a love story.